Good afternoon, and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for April the 4th. We excuse our friend Councilmember Luna and continue to pray for his quick recovery and return to us. I've heard that things are going well for those who are concerned about him, and I know you all are. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's council meeting. I know there's been some movement on some of the items on this agenda, so let's walk our way through that. Agenda item 3 are various liquor license applications. In response to your question, there is nothing on our agenda for rewards and recognitions tonight. Is that right, staff?
We do have one.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Good writing contest, yes.
Hear presentation and let me think. Let's get back. Okay, yes. Janice Genevois from Historic Preservation is going to award something to the Historic Preservation Essay Writing Contest winners. Yes. All right. Thank you. I stand corrected. That is on our agenda for tonight. Then to agenda item 3. Any question on any of the liquor license applications? 4 is a bingo application. 5 are various purchasing contracts. 6 are resolutions. 7, taking public comment on ordinances. And 8, again, taking public comment on ordinances. Agenda item 9A.
Yes, Mayor and Council, just received a request from the applicant on that to have this item continued to your April 18th meeting also.
Thank you, Mr. Wesley.
That could be read into the continuance.
So we'll read that on the consent agenda to continue it until a date certain, which is April the 18th. Okay, thank you.
So just to confirm, all of 8 and all of 9 are being continued till the 18th.
As well as 7.
Right. Yes, and yes. All of 7, yes.
Everything that had been off our consent has been continued.
Perfect.
Yeah. So there's nothing off the consent agenda. Is that okay with everyone on the council? Okay. Next item on our agenda is to hear item 2A, hear a presentation and discuss the fiscal year 2016-17 summary of proposed budget. Candace, welcome.
Good evening.
For the public, this is kicking off a couple of months of discussion with various city departments to talk to in anticipation of adopting a budget.
That's correct, Mayor. This is kicking off a very hectic April with a lot of information coming forward to council, but a lot of different topics. And what we want to do today is draw attention to the proposed budget. So we have provided a proposed budget, and in Legistar, in one of your attachments, you do have a summary. It's a very lengthy summary. It is bookmarked for better usability, readability for that. And the summary really provides an overview of every fund within the city, as well as each department. What the summary does is it assumes today's budget, or this year's budget, the current budget, which there is a budget book out for, and it just really goes over the changes. So any changes in status, so changes in revenues, changes in expenses that we're experiencing so far this year, as well as in the projected revenues and projected expenses for the upcoming year in 16-17. It's April now, so earlier in March, we did come to council and give a forecast of the 16-17 budget. Was looking at 15-16 and 16-17. During that time, we outlined how we go about doing the forecast, and a lot of those included some of our assumptions, and those assumptions have continued into the proposed budget. Since that time, city staff, executive staff, have met with each of the departments and their senior staff to go over how it's going so far this year in their operations, any concerns, successes that they're having, concerns that they're having on reaching their goals, and what their priorities are for the upcoming fiscal year. During those discussions, various items were identified as needs from the department and were reviewed by senior staff. As we put together our financial forecast for 16-17, what we're going to be doing in this particular presentation is to highlight those items that were either included in the proposed budget or were not included in the proposed budget. We wanted to make sure that the department's recommendations and needs were voiced during this presentation. Some of the things that we changed between when we look at our numbers between what we forecasted at the last presentation and this one is the last one was truly a forecast. That was going in and forecasting personal services, forecasting our expenses. In the meantime, the departments have entered their submissions, which are the actual positions with the actual employees, as well as their various expenses. Those have changed, and so now when we go forward and we look at our proposed budget for 16-17, we're really using more of the actual accurate information of the positions and expenses within those departments. So this includes any of the feedback that we receive from departments and compares against our forecast. When we looked against our forecast for 16-17, we actually were very close, very true, to where we thought we would be for the 16-17 fiscal year. When we look here, you can see the February 2016 forecast. That was the one that was presented at the beginning of March to the council, where we were showing an $8.6 million gap between our total sources for next year as well as our total uses. That's that gap or that budgetary gap that we were talking about that we were trying to address. When we go in and estimate for 16-17 for next year, as we come in, we're now looking at about a $7.9 million gap between ongoing expenses and ongoing revenues. So we have been able to fill that gap a little bit. One thing that is not accounted for is the 2% savings that we're asking the departments to look for in their 16-17 budget. If you recall, instead of asking them to come up with a 2% reduction in expenses now and actually budget them into the 16-17 fiscal year, we're asking departments that during the year that they look for opportunities for savings, whether it's vacant positions or projects that come in under budget, those types of things, and actually set that money aside or those funds aside so that at the end of the year we hope to accomplish a 2% savings by the end of the year. That will help us to close that gap for the 16-17 on an actual basis versus budgetary basis. For the enterprise fund, we're going to be coming back on April 21st and doing a full review of the enterprise fund, all the utilities and various enterprises within that fund, as well as utility rates and related CIP projects for that one. So I don't have specific numbers for you today on that one. We are still working some of those numbers based on the bond refundings that are actually on tonight's agenda. There was some savings there, so we're trying to include those in before we come back with the final numbers for that one. As we go forward, when we're trying to review, and we took a look at all the different items and the feedback that we received from departments, what we've tried to do is kind of put them into categories. These are just categories to review the information. They do not represent, they're not part of this council's priorities that have been looked at or anything. This is just to review the information in this particular presentation. But we found when we looked at the feedback from the departments, the request for funding kind of fell into six different types of categories. Employee investment, public safety, technology, neighborhood investment, infrastructure, and resident services. So those are just kind of the categories we're using to try to look through the information today. In employee investment, what is included in the proposed budget are increases in the pay ranges. On the top of the pay ranges for our sworn positions, those are both in fire and in the police department. These are part of the third year of a three-year memorandum of understanding that was signed with those particular associations and would apply to those positions and those personnel. Also included is a wellness program. This is a new wellness program. It is new for the next fiscal year. We will be piloting a program with up to 500 employees with an online interactive web-based system, and it's a health management tools. So it's brand new to the city. It's in our benefits area, and we're hoping that's going to help increase the health and the well-being of our employees, and that would roll over into productivity as well as health savings within our employee benefit trust fund. Neighborhood investment, the proposed budget includes two additional code compliance officers. The cost you see here is just the cost of the positions. There would also be some one-time costs for vehicles and upfitting with equipment for those particular positions. For historic preservation services, the department originally requested $50,000. The proposed budget includes $15,000 for contracted services that they would need during that year. And also the two additional expanses of the redevelopment area, those are the items that were discussed last week with council, and expanding that downtown area.
Mr. Richens.
Are the two code compliance officers general fund?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Richens. Those are new general fund. Those would be in addition to the ones we already have that includes two that are still in the CDBG.
Yeah, we give the council the option. We added the two here. I guess council could have the option of keeping the two in CDBG or not, but we wanted to make sure we had maybe two additional ones here.
So council can make the decision. I just want to give you the flexibility of increasing the total number of officers.
Well played, Brady. Well played.
But I want to give you the option. We wanted to have that option so you could go either way. So, or you want to free up CDBG money, then you could do something else.
The financial difference between those two would be the one-time cost for the setup. The co-compliance officers that are currently funded by CDBG obviously already have their equipment, and so we could move that funding over or add to, and it would be the one-time cost. It's about $70,000 to $90,000 for the vehicles, and laptops and so forth, equipment that would go with them. In our public safety operations area, we are proposing the creation of a crisis response team in the police department. This is comprised of one sergeant and five officers who would be specially trained to respond to calls regarding mental health issues or patients. And later this month, public safety, both fire and police department, will be doing individual presentations. They can go a little bit more into depth on this particular program and how this would help within their department on their calls. We've also included six sworn positions in the fire and medical department. These positions support recruiting, training, operations, peer support, and patient medical records. These particular positions are actually being covered by actualized annual savings that they have seen over the previous years. So what we're doing here is actually taking their savings from their personal services and reinvesting it back into these positions. So the positions, when it comes forward in the budget, would actually not be an increase in FTEs or full-time equivalents. We would put them in as unbudgeted, but they would still be an additional of six personnel that would be covered with their existing budget.
Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Chris, have we looked at potentially utilizing volunteers or going back out to maybe retired police and fire to bring them in to do some of the administrative stuff that this would do?
I know we've done that in a few cases. So they would fall in the civilian side, I guess, is what you're suggesting for volunteers. I think some of this, of these positions that might be a possibility where it's peer support kind of functions. I think some of the others, though, would probably necessitate more of a full-time sworn position. But we can share with you the list of those positions and maybe have the chief speak directly to that opportunity.
Also included in the proposed budget is a continuation of the arraignment court through the municipal court. We have had the arraignment court for quite a few years, but during that time it has been funded by basically a fund balance and within one of their grants. They have exhausted that fund balance for the grant. The ongoing grant can cover half of the arraignment court. The other half of $60,000 has now been moved to the general fund. On the equipment side for public safety, the budget does include the third year of the three-year program for the Axon body cameras for the police department. This is the purchase of the cameras themselves plus the additional storage space for that. Radio replacements for the police department are included for $3 million. This is one-third of the radio replacements that are needed for the police department. This is one of those purchases in our life cycle plan that has been put off for quite some years. And at this time, we feel that it's time that we need to really bring this forward and start the replacement of those. Radio replacements for the fire and medical department for $400,000 is also included. These are the radios that will be needed for the VHF conversion when we go on July 1st of 2017. So they would need to be included in the 16-17 budget to prepare for that. On the resident services side, we have included the development of the ThinkSpot 2.0, which will be housed at the main library. The construction of the 2.0 is covered with grants, but the addition of a librarian position has been included in the 16-17 budget as a mid-year position, so coming in about halfway through the year to oversee that particular area, as well as a new program in the Parks and Recreation Department that is anticipated to be covered through the participant fees. So that's bringing youth fitness out during the summer, fitness centers out to the youth. We've also included the update of a Parks and Recreation Master Plan. This will come in and take a look at all the parks and so forth that have happened over the last few years. We've had a lot of construction going on, and it's time to start going back in and updating that master plan with our existing assets and the assets that will be coming on shortly. permanent routing of the bus transit service through Riverview. This is something that we've piloted a time period for. This is the current routing of this particular of the bus system, and we're going to we've recommended to continue that going into the next year. In order to continue that, it's about $110,000 has been included in the budget. Closed captioning for the city council meetings and study sessions was something that were done in the past, but were had to be discontinued during the recession. And we're recommending to bring that back next year. That would cover the study sessions and the council meetings themselves, but not the other meetings, just those meetings. Also included in the public information area is taking a videographer from part-time to full-time. This will help on some of the city coverages that we're not able to cover all of the events right now with that particular service. As you know, in the city, we try to leverage technology whenever we can in order to create efficiencies in our processes and also to interact with our customers and our residents in a more friendly nature. Technology requires the update of applications as well as new applications as they become available. Some of the items that are available or included in the 16-17 budget include our continuation of our solar incentive program. This is through our Energy Resources Department. We've also increased, with all of the technology we have today, the cyber and data breach security. While we do have that in place with the city, this additional funding would spread that citywide. There are some areas of the city that are not covered as full as we would like them to be, and so we've included that. Upgrade to our customer information system has to do with mobility and interfaces with the residents and the customers themselves. So you'll see some functionality changes with those particular upgrades. The Kronos timekeeping system was actually funded this year. But the majority of the work will happen next year, so I did want to bring that to your attention, that the work would be happening in 16-17 fiscal year. That's updating the timekeeping system with a lot of enhancements to that area as well. The Advantage system is also included next.
Mr. Thompson.
Chris, on the update of Kronos, are we ever going to get to a system that's easier for our officers to use? It seems like we keep funding Kronos, and it's not doing exactly what it's meant to be doing.
Well, Mayor and Councilor, I think Kronos meets it provides for the services that we expect it to do. It's challenging in the public safety because of the different schedules and shifts and changes. It'll never be as flexible as the manual system that the police department's used to. There's no system that was ever made that way. I think over time, one of the things this update will do will help us to get closer to matching. What we're learning, though, in a lot of these systems that we buy that are used nationally across the country, is that sometimes we also have to learn how to change our own processes and how we do things internally. Because when before you had your own program and your own software that you could program to meet your needs, that worked. The world's kind of changed. So we're trying to learn how to get the software to do what we want it to do, but we're also having to learn how to change our processes so it's more conformity with really best practices across the country. It's not easy, but it's certainly, I think we've made a lot of improvements over the last year. It's fairly new, and so part of that too is the newness that I think a lot of departments and individuals are getting used to. Police department was the last ones to come on board. We allowed them to stay on an older system for a while and not require them to clock in. We recognized shortly after that there were a lot of accountability issues and concerns, and just the burden it put upon our sergeants for the paperwork, it was significant. It is not, and I know it's not a easy system. It doesn't make it simple, but it seems to be a standard that's used across the country. And we're working with Kronos. I think that's the good news. We've had some good luck recently with some changes at Kronos and bringing some of their programmers in that we felt that they're even being more responsive to our needs. So I think we're kind of having to go both ways, if you would. We're having learned to change our processes, and I think Kronos has gotten better, at least what I've heard from staff in the last couple of months. We have more promise that they're understanding better what our needs are. So we'll keep monitoring. It's something we have to stay on. But I'll tell you that the information that comes out of Kronos we've never had before. We can track over time much more accurately. We can see where the staffing dollars are being spent across the city, what times of the month, weeks. We feel more comfortable about the information coming out than we ever have. But it does require a lot more effort on the front end. There's no doubt about it.
Some of the other upgrades coming through are our various Advantage upgrades, all the various modules there. as well as the big movement of the city's data center to a third-party location. So this is new. This would be actually taking our data center out of the building that is currently in right next door to this building here and moving it off-site to another location. The funding from those, some of the funding coming for that particular project is funding that was identified for modifications or upgrades to the building that will no longer be necessary if the data center is no longer there. And so we've applied that funding toward actually moving the data center to another location with more redundancy and stability for us. Various infrastructure items, infrastructure again, are with things like streets, water lines, gas lines, those types of things are really in our infrastructure. As we're always looking at those, how do we not only build the infrastructure, but support the infrastructure? So you'll see here some things that support that. Streets, you'll see a street sweeper coming through. And again, these are everything that's in the proposed budget. Everything that we talk about today comes to the council individually during the year for the individual approval on these. Street sweeper coming through is actually a specialized one to specifically work with asphalt patching. The street sweeper we're using today is not up to that, and it's decreasing the life cycle for that particular street sweeper, so we want a better one for that. Also,
I'm sorry, Mr. Kavanaugh has a question.
And just a question on that particular one. I know in the past, a lot of times we get the street sweepers through congestion mitigation funds through MAG, and I'm just wondering...
This is
it's so specialized it doesn't qualify for it.
That's correct.
Don't think of this as that kind of street sweeper.
Correct.
This is a Lenny Hume street sweeper, so it's really for applying the asphalt, not picking up the dust.
Okay. It's actually working with the crews who are doing the asphalt and picking up. And what's happening with the other street sweepers is it's too rugged for.
Kind of like Lenny, it's a rugged, more gritty kind of sweeper.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to call it. Kind of an artsy kind of.
Oh, artsy! Yeah. I don't know if I go that far.
I don't know if it's artsy. Maybe a ruggedized sweet sweeper.
By January, would be the Lenny Hume Memorial Sweet Sweeper.
But those are types of things. We also have an increase in our street barricade program, and we'll see that coming through in our fees and charges as we come through for that for funding on that one. Some support areas in the utilities area would be a utility locator position that was mentioned earlier today when we're or in another meeting today about locating underground facilities. Also, meter readers as our utility accounts increase. Obviously, the need for meter readers to read those particular meters increase as well, so it includes two new meter reader positions and the associated vehicles with that, as well as maintenance supervisor for one of our water reclamation plants. We have right now one that is shared between two plants, and so this would allow dedication to those particular plants and oversight. And as well as the five new positions related to Signal Butte Water Treatment Facility, while this is starting, we're starting in design and then construction will be coming on. The normal practice is to bring these positions on early to get them trained early, allow for the recruiting, and in fact, actually work with the construction company and so forth as it's going through the project. While the project is underway, these positions would be charged actually to the project as part of the construction project. Once the facility is live, then they would be the operational ones who would actually be in the plant after that. Anyway. The following items are items that were identified during the various budget discussions that happened over the last month, but we were not able to include in the proposed budget for 16-17. In our public safety, fire, and medical area, there was a need for expanding the dispatch center due to the call volume, a request for 3 dispatchers and 3 supervisors. Also, various training courses. Those would be ongoing training courses that they could participate in if the funding were available, as well as additional support in their emergency management, hazmat, fire, and fire inspections area. Those would include people and vehicles. Continuing the community medical units or community care units, as we used to call them, that grant expires. It's a $4.2 million grant, and that does expire in August of 17. It does not affect the 16-17 fiscal year, but is something that we need to plan for now as we start looking forward to the 17-18 planning.
And just quickly, Candace, just quickly, I'll jump right in here. And Mayor and Council, Candace is going to go through these quickly, but when we do the public safety, I just want to give the council a heads up. We didn't include everything on this list, but there's certainly, but I have asked both chiefs to present to the council kind of their staffing needs a report to you, because there is obviously a growing need for expanded fire services as the city grows. Obviously, you've heard about maybe even our police officers being stretched to cover many of the calls that are coming in throughout the city. So they're not included here, but they will be discussed at the time they bring their presentations to council about some of the concerns they have and just looking at a staffing plan, at least so you're aware of what they see are the needs today and in the near future as far as staffing that are not included in the budget, but just to make you aware where we stand with those needs.
Mr. Cavanaugh.
And I just have a question in terms of the proposed budget figure that you have. As you know, we try to keep our target for the reserves between 8 and 10%. And this year we're finishing at about 17%. Your proposed budget is 14.6%. To stay within the policy that is set, has been set for many years, of 8 to 10%, what amount of money does the council have to look at if it chose to add anything back into the budget?
Well, when we're looking at the proposed the reserve balances of 8 to 10%, we are doing multi-year forecasting when we look at that. Mm-hmm. And so similar to the utility side, there are some years that we're going to carry a larger fund balance, and that's the realized savings of previous years. And those are the types of items that we would then reinvest back into usually one-time items. When we're looking forward, while we do the proposed budget is about a 14%, you are correct. If we continue with the expenses as they sit today, in about 2 years, we'll be below the 8 to 10%.
So what happens is each year we realize there's some savings that is realized. We're reinvesting that back into some of the departments you heard today. So, for example, the fire department had savings. We're reinvesting that back into the department. So while they're at the end of the year, there may be a higher balance, what we do is we do try to program it, keep those reserves within the goal, but we're also not just trying to solve the problem or solve the reserves for next year. We do look at a 3 to 5 year, and our concern right now, and that's what we went to we talked about last time, is that net operating income is right now as a negative. That's the gap, and the challenge with the gap is that each year it continues to draw down those reserves, and what it's saying right now based on our estimates is the forecast says that those reserves would be below our established policy
minimum 8 to 10% is really what's looked at as a minimum fund balance.
But that would happen in about 3 years?
That would happen in 2 years.
2 years. So while it looks healthy this time, but that because of the fact that our expenditures are higher in revenues, then it burns off that savings sooner. So, I mean, council can decide what we're trying to manage the gap, I guess is what we're trying to say. I mean, we will have a balanced budget, but it will be based on one-time savings this year. And what we're really trying to do is to correct it so that our ongoing revenues or our annual revenues and our annual expenditures line up better. What we've been doing for the last couple of years is we've been realizing savings from the departments, and then we hold on to it and spend it the next year. It's just, so that's kind of where we're at. And I mean, the council could say, fine, we'll figure this out in a year's time or less than your time. It's really just kind of managing the future. I mean, today, right now, the balance sheet looks fine. What we're looking and telling the council is yes, but in 2 years, there are some challenges, and that's why we're trying to move closer to reducing the difference between expenditures and revenues.
Right, and Mayor, I guess the point I was trying to make is that I know you have the proposed budget, but there still is some flexibility on the part of the council to add items back in if there's consensus on it.
And I understand
that you're looking at a long-term picture, but we also are looking at hopefully the fact that I know there's a two-year delay, but I think from the state perspective, revenues are increasing. That ultimately will come to us on a delayed basis, 2 years when they're collected. And my hope is, again, that the trends in terms of sales tax and other revenues, construction permits, will continue to rise up. But I just want to make sure that, you know, if there's consensus on some items, obviously
absolutely,
the council has the freedom to add that back in.
Sure.
Thank you.
Correct. Mayor and Vice Mayor, this is, the proposed budget for fiscal year 16-17. It's the proposed budget. So obviously any feedback that we receive, we would make modifications to the budget for that. And some of the things I should have mentioned, what was funded with the radios, radios for the police department, the funding from that is coming from the actualized savings from fiscal year 14-15. So we would anticipate actually moving forward with those this year based on the savings that we achieved in 14-15. So we wouldn't be looking for new revenues. We'd be using our reserve balances to do that based on savings in the past. Again, as we talked about, both the police department and the fire department will be coming back with a little bit more detailed information on some of these items. But again, the community care units have not been taken into account into the forecast, and so that is a $4.2 million grant that we will need to address in the upcoming years. Replacement of their 12 lead cardiac monitors is an example of something that's in our life cycle plan that does not currently have funding identified for it. It is not needed at this point in 16-17, but it is sitting out on the horizon in 18-19. And so those are the types of things that we want to keep in mind when we're looking at those one-time savings opportunities, that we kind of set that money aside for these large items that are coming up in the future. This is not an all-inclusive list, obviously. These are just kind of the top items from those particular areas or from fire. In the police area, there was requested that we have do additional teams.
Candace. Mr. Glover.
Sorry, Candace, just to beat you to the chase. I wanted to let my colleagues know that I've heard from a lot of business owners and residents along the light rail corridor. They're very much in favor and supportive of the light rail bike patrol that we have in place right now, and it's been very well received. And so I'm hoping that it will be moved up into a priority for PD's budget for this upcoming fiscal cycle, and that will continue on in perpetuity. Thank you.
So thank you. So yes, that is one of the items that was forwarded by the police department. There were numerous teams, basically, to look at particular sections or sectors of the city. The one that was included was the crisis response team. The other ones that were proposed was the community action teams. Those would be teams within each district. The light rail bike patrol, as Councilmember Glover mentioned.
Sorry. This one will probably be more for Chief Mesa when he comes forward. With the community action teams in each district and it costing $1.3 million, is that for all four districts or is that... Okay, because I would like to see a breakdown of what that would include when it says positions and vehicles, because I think that we can be creative when we do utilize our community action teams, and we don't necessarily need to hire new people or utilize new vehicles. We can always use the resources we already have.
Also included in their proposal was a human exploitation and trafficking team that would be housed out of the Mesa Family Advocacy Center. And then also the replacements that are still out there. The $3 million for the PD replacements was just one-third of the radios that we have in place, and there's another two-thirds in our life cycle program that are currently unfunded at this time. Some other items that came up, one of your earlier meetings talked about a downtown facade improvement program, so that is not included currently in the 16-17 proposed budget, as well as some administrative positions for code compliance and records management in the Development Services Department. Some resident services items that came up. There was a grant last year that Parks and Recreation had for a summer for a play program. That the grant has been discontinued, therefore the program is not included in the 16-17 year. And also additional human services funding is also that has not been increased for 16-17. It remains at the current level of the 826 plus $50,000 in utility assistance. When it comes to technology, again, because we try to leverage technology when we can, there are still outstanding items in the technology area that we are not able to take advantage of. Some of those are just increased cybersecurity as well as public Wi-Fi detection. Financial transparency and visualization software is also available but not being leveraged today. Data analytics is the direction that we are going in with our What Works Cities initiative, as well as some of the other things that we're doing. To do that, take some data analytics behind it, so investment in that area. And also upgrading and replacing, this is kind of our big ticket on the technology side. Between now and 18-19, we've got about $7 million of identified needs related to the police department when it comes to technology. Those are currently do not have funding identified for those upgrades or replacements. Infrastructure, we have a few on the utility side that have been mentioned, some additional support in our water maintenance specialist, a sewer line program that we'll still continue to take a look at. Meter readers, as the accounts continue to increase, we'll need to continue to look at meter readers and making sure that we are funding them or staffing them appropriately, as well as remodeling any buildings out at 708 West Baseline. That is currently under master plan. Since we haven't received that, we don't know what the funding would need to be for there. And then facility repairs. So we have not included anything additional to the $3 million allocation that they currently have. That's our annual allocation we've had for quite a few years on the facility side. There are some critical projects that will probably be coming through this year as contingency requests for some of our facilities that need to be taken care of earlier rather than later. Coming up over the next few Thursdays, pretty much every Thursday now through the month of April, we'll be coming to you with some type of a budget topic. These are the five different areas that have been identified by council as a priority area that you'd like to look at over 16-17. So we've taken a little bit different viewpoint or different tactic to our budget presentations this year. They really, rather than really being a budget presentation, will actually be a priority presentation. So what we'll be doing is taking the five different areas. They are scheduled out. The first ones this Thursday will be sustainable economy and workforce development. And those presentations will wrap around those particular topics. So we'll have departments who have performance metrics already established that they're already tracking come forward and bring those to you to show you what is currently being tracked within those areas and what they're doing, and what programs they have allocated resources to support those particular measures and tracking. So it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past. So they won't be department presentations. They'll be topic presentations. Some of them may only have one or two departments that'll present on those particular topics. And we've got one that I think we're up to four or five departments in our placemaking, the placemaking topic that's at the end of this month. I think we actually have five different departments that will all be contributing to that particular presentation. So it's a little different than what we've done before. So again, it'll be one presentation on that topic with multiple departments that will all contribute to those. And obviously, if there's any questions that come up, if there's something that we don't answer, you didn't get enough of somebody's budget information, that type of a thing, we'll always be happy to get back with you with that information or bring it with us or answer any questions. That's kind of the viewpoint we're going to go. Public safety will be on one day where we'll have both fire and police will come in with their programs and their metrics as well. Again, each one of these are around performance metrics and what we are currently looking at within the city related to these particular topics.
Great. Thank you, Council. Just a reminder, a month or two ago, we talked about strategic planning and how we wanted to do it going forward. And the consensus at that time was to go through the budget hearing process. And that would be a good exercise for us to really get into the weeds in terms of what was going on in the city. And as a result of that, that would be a good opportunity to maybe, as Candace has suggested, look at what we're measuring right now. Make some strategic plans, talk to city staff and say going forward, these are the things we're very interested in getting measurements on, maybe creating a council and a dashboard that reports on a regular basis what the statistics are that we're particularly interested in following. So I just to remind you, that as a result of this, if we could all kind of just put this also in the context of not just budget discussions, but also strategic plannings and things that we might want to just pay closer attention to going forward. But thank you, Candace. I'm sorry, was that the end of your presentation?
Yeah, so really basically on that note, just because those presentations are going to be topic-based, really, rather than budget-based, we are looking for, if you do have any questions on the proposed budget summary, that really has the detail. There's a lot of funds that we may not hit, trust funds, joint ventures, those types of things. If there's any questions that you have on the proposed summary, please let me know, and we'll make sure that we get that information to you. And if you want a presentation that we're not doing, that's not topical, but you still want something like that, then just let me know, and we'll be happy to schedule that or get information for you.
Great. Thank you. Council, any additional questions for Candace or Mr. Brady? Thank you very much. We'll look forward to the task that's ahead of us. Next item on our agenda is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Motion and second. All in favor, please say aye. 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 Thank you. Motion passes. Next item is here reports on meetings and conferences attended. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended two events on Saturday that were both significant in the community. You had me go very early in Saturday morning. I was at downtown at 5:15 a.m. to help kick off the Altura de Mesa, and actually overcame my fear of heights and went up in a bucket 9 stories with a fire truck to do that. And we had thousands of bicycle riders. This is the 26th year for the Altura de Mesa. It's one of the largest such events in the state, and they raise thousands and thousands of dollars for nonprofits throughout Arizona. And I want to thank all the city volunteers who helped make it happen, as well as everyone associated with that. Later that day, after a nap, I went to the Mesa Arts Center at 2:00 to help inaugurate the Mesa Musical Shadows art installation, permanent exhibit installation on the patio in the north part of the Mesa Arts Center. This is an interactive art exhibit that was funded by a very large grant from Art Place of America, as well as local donors, and received a very enthusiastic response. These are colored tiles that you can play music on by passing your shadow over them. And thank goodness there's no video of me trying to dance on the tiles, but there are a lot of other people who did it. And it was very intriguing. I think tomorrow night there's a reception for Art Place of America who's here in town as well. But the artists who installed this have installed similar interactive art projects all around the world, and this one's getting a lot of buzz. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Thank you for representing us at those events. Any other events, gentlemen? Hearing none, Mr. Brady, can you update us on the scheduling of meetings and general information?
Thank you, Mayor. Just reminding the Mayor and Council, as Candace mentioned, this Thursday we'll have a study session. We'll be reviewing the upcoming capital improvement program, as well as presentations on the sustainable economy and workforce development. And also just to remind you that the next household hazardous waste and appliance recycling event is this Saturday, April 9th from 8 a.m. to noon. This will be at the West Mesa Service Center. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. That concludes our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We'll reconvene upstairs.